Back live in studio, it's Grant and Danny on the Fan. 20 days into May, it is Tuesday, May 20th. Nats are back home just down the street taking on the Braves tonight. A beautiful night for baseball at Nationals Park. We're brought to you today and every day by the law firm Kondorian Murat.
We are exclusively sponsored by that law firm, Kondorian Murat. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Got a great show planned for you today. In 1 hour, your Beltway Blitz. We're also giving away tickets to see The Offspring. They're going to be out at Jiffy Lube Live with Jimmy Eat World and Newfound Glory. So make sure you're listening at 4 for that. Defenders quarterback Jordan Ta'amu. They just got a big win out at Audi Field this weekend. They're going to the playoffs. He'll be in studio with us in 2 hours at 5 o'clock. And the general manager of the Washington Capitals, Chris Patrick, looking ahead to their offseason plans with us. He'll be on the phone at 5:30. So we got a lot going on. But right now we're very, very happy to tell you that in studio with us is an at-large council member here in the nation's capital. Mr. Robert White is with us. Thank you for joining us here in our studio.
I appreciate you all having me. Excited to be here.
Of course.
It's our pleasure. So the news broke that a deal had been struck, that there is the framework for a stadium in Washington, D.C. as a station, as you can imagine. Tons of reaction from fans. We've been trying to get to the bottom of this with a deadline set up for July now to see how this is going to go. And we've talked so far to four different members of the council. You'll make the fifth that has joined us on the show. So I guess let's just start with floors open for you. Your thoughts at this point, would you vote yes for this stadium plan?
So I'm a fan. I'm a lifelong Washington football fan. Born in 82, so I came of age in our glory years. Loved the ascent. Did not love the long descent.
It wasn't as much fun for you?
It was not as much fun as you would think.
Do you have memories then at RFK Stadium?
So I couldn't afford to go. The tickets were expensive. Something still true of football today. I didn't go to my first game until I was probably in college.
Wow.
When someone had pity on me and like at the end of a losing season, they were like, do you want these tickets? So, but now I'm a dad. I'm hoping I can bring my girls. But watched on TV religiously every Sunday. Was lucky enough to marry a woman who loves football. Unfortunately, she's from New York. So when we're playing the Giants, she's not on my side. Other than that, she's rooting for the home team. But I'm excited. My first reaction on the stadium was excitement. I you know, it's the Washington Commanders. Would love for them to be back home in D.C. But I can't, as a council member, just be a fan. And so I had to dig into the deal. And unfortunately, right now, it's a bad deal for D.C. residents. We will lose a ton of money. But my goal is to improve it so that we can get this done. And I think it's doable. It's just going to take some work.
What has to happen, in your view, to make it to a place where it's acceptable to you?
Yeah, so there are a few things. The Commanders are making a large investment, $2.7 billion. What I remind folks is they're not making a gift. They're making an investment. And I see very clearly how they make their money back. Ticket sales are going to go to them. Revenue from concessions are going to go to the team. Revenue from the parking lot that taxpayers build is going to go to the team. We're going to lease the land for $1 a year. And then the rent from the hotels and restaurants, that's going to the team as well. Nothing really is going to the city. So we're going to spend about $1 billion. We're going to have to take on debt. So you'd start to double that. If we leased out the land, we're talking about $6 to $25 billion over the first 30 years. And so we're putting, D.C. taxpayers are putting a lot in, but we don't get any revenue. So in order for this to be a good deal for D.C., there has to be revenue sharing so that we can actually make that money back. We are making an investment as well, not a gift. And we are upside down financially, the city right now. So we got to make that money back. I want to see apprenticeship opportunities during the construction so we can get D.C. residents working on that. And then one big thing that sends a message, and I've shared this with the team, you got to bring your headquarters to D.C. as well. I couldn't see any team saying we're going to move our team from one state to another, but we're going to leave our headquarters in another place. So certainly want to see the headquarters in D.C. as well.
So the Capitals and currently train in Arlington, but called D.C. home. It's never really been an issue. What do you say to that?
The practice field for the Commanders is in Virginia.
Right.
That will probably remain in Virginia because D.C. just doesn't have a lot of land. So I understand as a practical matter.
So what did you mean by headquarters?
I mean their offices, front office, back office. Those folks should be in D.C., and that's not been a commitment the team has made yet.
Councilmember at large Robert White, kind enough to join us here in studio on Grant and Danny. So I believe, sir, you're a Ward 4 resident?
I am.
So I spent a lot of time in D.C., went to kindergarten through college in the city, and I spent a lot of years living in D.C., and I don't know that a ward has changed more than Ward 4, but some of the different neighborhoods and the development, everything from Petworth to Brightwood and everything in between. I'm curious, as that has kind of the changes have happened over the years, how do your residents feel in general? I mean, it's hard to speak for everybody, obviously. Nobody's got one voice, but how do your residents feel in general about just the team coming back, stadium, and what that might do for them?
Residents are excited, and as an at-large member, I represent an entire city.
Right.
I have the privilege of living in Ward 4 as a child, and now again as an adult. I moved around the city in the middle. But residents, I think most residents want the stadium back. Most residents are counting on us, the elected officials, to make sure it's a good deal for D.C. And I think people are concerned about the idea of D.C. being left holding the bag. So as we are in a revenue deficit, if we put multi-billions of dollars into this in 5 years from now, we're still paying for it, not seeing revenue come into the city. That's a concern for most people. So they're depending on us to make a good deal. And, if we invest in this, that means we're investing less in schools and police stations and building a new jail. And so that's a trade-off that residents are going to need to feel comfortable about. But you got to spend money to make money, but we don't want to spend money to lose money.
Councilmember Robert White at large, D.C. City Council, in studio with us on Grant and Danny, discussing the possibility of RFK 2.0 and the Commanders coming back home to D.C. So the latest polling we've seen is from the Washington Post, 55%, so majority of D.C. residents in favor of about $850 million being spent on this project. The number, obviously, $1.1 billion asked to folks as well. It's actually much higher in the ward where they'd be building the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks that would actually be most inconvenienced by the building of the operation, but also benefit the most immensely from all the things that'll be there, wanted it even a higher rate than that. So when I hear you say it's bad for the city, and then it sounds like you'd be a no right now, I guess my question is, someone who doesn't really get politics all that much, would be, would you vote against the majority of the people then? I mean, if the majority of D.C., your constituents as an at-large, are saying, hey, at a 60% clip, let's say, yeah, let's do this. And then the people that are right there are going, I don't have a place I like shopping. I'd have one. I don't have a place that I could go to this store. We'd have one now. Does that matter?
It does matter. It matters a lot. But residents are counting on me to have a full picture. And so when residents say, yeah, we're comfortable investing $850 million, they're counting on me to know whether or not the actual cost is a lot more. They're counting on me to know whether or not we're going to make more. They're assuming we're not making an $850 million gift, but rather an investment. Right now, as the deal is structured, it is not an investment for DC. It's a gift. So they are counting on us to not get swept away in the excitement, which I'd love to do as a fan, but to rather dig into the details. If you polled the residents around the stadium, probably not a majority of people who want it. The amenities, grocery stores, or what have you, in Ward 7, but not east of the river, which is where we need those grocery stores. And so that's where the responsibility of elected officials comes in. I say put aside politics, right? Like, we don't really need the politics here. A good investment is a good investment. A bad investment is a bad investment. I think what residents are saying pretty clearly, which is the same thing I'm saying, I'm a yes if the deal is good for D.C. And so let's get there.
Totally agree with that. I guess the big question is this a negotiation or is this the deal? And it sounds like you don't like this particular deal, but my question would be, I mean, I drive by that area all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Going to Maryland to go pay my tax dollars as a Virginian in Maryland to go to games, which would now be in D.C. But if it's not the stadium, what is it and how long does that take? I heard the chair of the council suggest it could be several years before anything gets done there if it's not this stadium. So we're just sitting there in perpetuity with this land where maybe it's not as good a deal as you want, but it could do a lot better for D.C. than weeds.
But probably. But think about, what was it, maybe 30 years ago, do we think that the Washington football team was saying to Landover, hey, we're going to build this stadium and it's going to be desolate around there? No, they were saying it's going to bring in a lot of revenue. It's going to spark all this type of investment, but it's not. And Maryland is not, Prince George's County is not heartbroken about losing the team. So, you know, that's why I have to make sure we're making a sober decision. And because this isn't my background, I've reached out to economists around the nation. And what they have told me is that they've seen no deal as bad as this. And I keep asking economists, can you point me to somebody who can tell me how this is a good deal? I've yet to find that economist. And if that economist is listening now, reach out to me, rwhite@dccouncil.gov. Like, I'm trying to get smart, but I've yet to find an economist locally or nationally who says anything other than this is a really bad deal for DC taxpayers.
Despite the fact that they're paying for 3/4 of it, which is pretty unheard of in a split with the city.
That's right. But this is also the second highest public investment in a stadium. And not long ago, SoFi Stadium was built without public investment. But economists have not really been split on whether or not stadiums are a good deal for taxpayers. And so I do see real benefits of having the team come back. I think it's not a slam dunk for D.C. We can make it a win for D.C., but right now it's pretty bad.
Well, sitting in the Navy Yard here, Nats Park's a few blocks away. Gigantic win for this ward, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Now, it's different, right? Maybe that's your point. Baseball, 81 dates. Football, not as many, although the roof gives you an opportunity for more dates.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody could argue. My dad used to work here and be escorted to his car when he was working for the defense with an armed guard 25 years ago or whatever. Now I'm going out to eat at all these restaurants and we're working here because of Nats Park. It's been a gigantic win for this city, that ballpark, as an anchor.
It has. Nats Park is a really great example. It's one that has paid off pretty well, nowhere near the timeline that they said, nowhere near. To look at something more recent, we look at CareFirst Arena in Southeast. If you look at the number of events that were promised before a shovel went in the ground, we're at about half of that right now. If you look at the revenue projections, we're nowhere near those revenue projections. And if you look at other stadiums across the country, very similar thing. And so I do think Nats Ballpark, which has a lot more events, a lot more games, is a little bit different. The other thing that's different that I would use as an example is Monumental's stadium downtown. That investment made a lot of sense to me because if you look at the revenue they bring in, it's somewhere around like $40 million a year in direct revenue, not even counting the spillover revenue, 1,000 to 2,000 permanent jobs and about 2,000 part-time jobs. That's a clear investment. So when we invested $500 million in that stadium rehab, I can look at the numbers and see how it makes sense. But I have not seen any numbers that show me how this one makes sense. And we want it to make sense.
Councilmember, I hope you have a lot of spare time. I imagine your inbox will be flooded with all the economists that generally listen to Grant and I. We're huge.
You would not believe how many every day community. We're like, can we get a sports fan? Enough economists calling in. Like,
you're exhausting. But process-wise then, okay? So this is part that I'm not exactly clear on. So again, forgive our ignorance here. What it sounded like to us was, this is all folded into part of the mayor's budget that is going to be submitted to you all, and then there'll be a discussion. This isn't the only discussion with the mayor's budget. The mayor's budget's got a lot of other line
items. A couple other pages?
Yeah, nothing to do with us and football, the thing that we like. So what's the process like then for amendments, changes, those sorts of things? Walk us through that, please.
Yeah, so the council has not gotten the mayor's budget yet. Usually we would get that at the beginning of April. It's late at this point, but we should get it next week. I imagine, because we're in a deficit, that there will be a lot of cuts. And so when schools are looking at losing funding, when we see less investment in all the things we normally see investment in, and we're saying we've got over $1 billion for a stadium, folks are going to have a little heartburn about that. But, you know, I'm prepared to talk to people. Again, you got to make investments so that we can get out of this deficit. But you know, the mayor and the commanders have said they want us to finalize this by July 15th. Now, that's not realistic at this point because it is part of the budget and we haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second. I saw again today on, I think it was Channel 9 in D.C., this mention of a July 15th deadline. What does that actually mean? Why is that a deadline? How set in stone is that? How flexible are we to push this thing potentially? Because on the team side, they got to make moves here. I mean, they're trying to open this thing in 2030. So I understand you guys want the perfect deal, but a not a perfect deal stadium or no stadium at all could ultimately be the decision you've got to make.
Right. I don't think we're going to get to a perfect deal. That can't be the measurement. But again, there has to be some conceivable way that the district doesn't lose a lot of money on this. We've got to be careful as we, you know, are knocking on the door of a recession, as we're in a deficit. We've got to be really careful about spending a lot of money and not getting a return on it. But the Commanders and the city can agree to an extension of that July 15th. That was a date that that the mayor and the Commanders negotiated without input from the council.
How has the team been in terms of these conversations? Have they been amenable to suggestions? Have they just said, hey, take it or leave it? What have they been like to deal with?
So I've met with the team before we got the deal and setting up a meeting with them. I think I'm meeting with them tomorrow or Thursday of this week. So they've been open to meeting, but I've been asking for revenue projections. The mayor said it's going to be $14 to $15 billion revenue for the city. I asked the mayor for the revenue projections 2 weeks ago. I've asked 5-6 more times since then. I haven't gotten them.
Maybe the seventh time.
Maybe.
We're joined in studio right now by at-large council member, DC City Council, Robert White, kind enough to give us a few minutes on Grant and Danny. So I want to go back to kind of the crux of what it sounds like is your issue, which is you think you guys are going to lose money on this deal.
That's right.
I don't see how that's possible if you have a Super Bowl and if you have a Final Four. The NFL draft's coming here. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer. You may. Do you have any idea how much money you guys would stand to make as a city by having the draft and people from 50 states coming in here?
So the draft is coming next year. There won't be a stadium.
Understood. But a part of why it's coming, I think, is because of the progress of the stadium. But regardless,
it's part of the push for the stadium. And again, I have to remain sober.
Understood.
As I look at this. But Super Bowl, how many Super Bowls are we going to host a year?
If you host a decade, one, I mean, economists suggest that's worth over $1 billion by itself potentially.
I've not seen that. So we, I don't know how much we would bring in, how much net revenue we bring in from hosting a Super Bowl. I don't believe it.
So you don't, and I'm not questioning you, I'm just asking, you don't believe then when people say to me, and I've had many people say, if they get a Super Bowl and a Final Four, that in and of itself could return the city close to the $1.1 billion investment with two events. You don't buy that.
Show me. That'd be wonderful, right? Okay. So, again, I'm not looking for, I don't think anybody on the council is looking for a perfect investment. We're just looking for an investment that doesn't almost guarantee that we lose a lot of money.
So, in other words, I'm not asking to speak for other members of the council, but I'm sure you've had conversations, whether introductory or even in depth. How many would you say, or others that have said, you know what, I actually see the point that you're making, or how many are gung ho? Just kind of where are we at in terms of that? We're just the peons out here. Don't know which way's up.
I think very reasonably, like me, most people don't want to be the face or the voice of somebody raining on the parade, right? I don't either. I'm a big fan, and I want to see the stadium here, but I have a responsibility to look at this deal, and so I think most members are trying to keep their powder dry if they have questions. And so I've heard the chairman of the council with a similar message to mine. You know, he's looking at the numbers and it's not making sense to him yet either.
So we had you undecided before you got here.
Mm-hmm.
So far, based on this conversation, I'm putting you in the yes column. I'm just kidding. I'm putting you in the no column, right? But we have four yeses and they need to get to seven.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, just to reiterate, I guess, do you think they have seven votes that are yeses?
No, but I wouldn't put me, so got some people have me in their yes column, some people have me in their no column.
Everywhere I look, it's different.
Right.
But having talked to you, you're squarely in the no column on this deal, I would say.
Yes. And
which is the only deal we have.
The vast majority of the council is likely a no on this deal. But I also think that almost all of the council wants to get to a yes. And this isn't like, you know, politicking or like, hey, fund my pet project. This is just make this a good deal for DC. The district, and this upsets me about the team, as somebody who has been such a big fan, watching what happened to our franchise over the past couple of decades was painful. And I think a lot of decisions that leadership and the team made were bad decisions. I really like what the new owners and management are doing with the team. This is a time to repair those relationships, to get the fan base excited again, not to have a city sort of reluctantly saying, we got a stadium, but we feel like we got taken advantage of. And we got to get past that. So what you see right now is a push for the excitement, not discussions of the deal. And that should make you a little bit nervous.
Our guest in studio with us is at-large council member Robert White on Grant and Danny. July 15th is this tentative deadline for now to try to figure out what's going to happen at the RFK 2.0 site. I want to ask you a question I've asked each council member we've had on, because even though I'm obviously adamantly about this stadium being in D.C., I think it's the best thing for the city, for the team, for all of us as fans. It'd be amazing. I get we're coming at this from different angles. You got a different job. What is a better option for that land in terms of growth, tax revenue, mm-hmm. and jobs? Like, your point may very well be true. This isn't perfect.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything you guys could put there that's going to do a better job than this stadium at providing those things. Where am I wrong?
We don't know if you're wrong because no one's pursued it. And so some folks would argue, well, it's been 30 years and there are no other options on the table. Well, I used to work on Capitol Hill. So one of the things I know is that the district was coming at the tail end of a previous lease with the federal government. So we couldn't be planning for land that we weren't going to control. This land only became viable within the past few months when we got a 99-year extension on the lease. So right now is when we would be saying to the best minds in the country, give us your best ideas. For FedEx land, they're planning things right now that, as I hear, they're more excited about than the idea of keeping the stadium. So we don't know.
I mean, Wes Moore is following the team around like I follow around my puppy. So I'm not sure if I completely agree with that.
Prince George's County does not seem
heartbroken. They've offered them $500 million to keep the team.
Right.
It's not because they don't want them.
I haven't heard Prince George's County saying that.
Okay, that's fair. You know more about that than
But all that to say... I don't know what else we would do for this land because we haven't pursued it. But I don't necessarily think we need to right now. We need to figure out how to make this deal work. As we walk into the beginning of a deficit, and you were here, I'm guessing, in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. right? That was a deficit that lasted a long time. As we walk into a deficit, we have to make sure the deals we make are in the best financial interests of the city. And if this is in the best financial interests of the city, let's do it. If it's not in the best financial interest of the city, let's not just say, well, there's nothing better we can do. Let's just eat it. No, let's make it better.
Is there a drop dead point in terms of, this is a bad hypothetical. I can't deal with any deficit. I can't deal with any loss, or I can deal with some knowing that it's an investment kind of given the climate that we're in. Does that make sense? There's a sliding scale there, right? Where you go, and you've already said it, you got to spend to make.
Yeah.
Is there we can't spend this much right now, even knowing it might be beneficial down in the future? Or is there a sliding scale as long as you can see the viability and the numbers to go? Like, where does that line go for you?
It's just viability. Mm-hmm. Is there a likely chance? Are we more likely than not to gain revenue and jobs? Right now, almost all of the risk is on the city because all of the revenue is going to the team mm-hmm. and to the project. All of the, even taxes are staying there. So nothing's going to the general fund. And that puts all of the risk on the district. And I think we need to share profit and share risk.
Our guest is going to be meeting on this a couple times a month, probably between now and July 15th.
Yes.
Sounds like you guys have met presumably multiple times since this came down. I mean, what are those conversations like? And then how often have you talked to the mayor? The mayor at one point called in just listening to our show and gave a very different story on how great she thinks this is. Yeah. I mean, she's in opposition with you on what this would do for the city. Like, what are your conversations with her been like, if at all?
Well, I met with the mayor, as I said, 2 weeks ago. I told her my concerns. She said we are projecting a $14 billion in revenue. And I said, excellent. Can you send me that projection? And I haven't gotten it. Yeah. You follow up the next day, the day after that, the week after that. It's still coming, apparently. And so we've been talking. And, you know, obviously the mayor's been pursuing this for a long time. I'd like to see her get there. But it can't be at the expense of the city. And I think most residents, as residents understand even the basics of this deal, they get very nervous.
Makes sense. Councilmember, we've already kept you too long. This is so kind of you to stop by and shed some light on things. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
It's awesome that you came in. It's, you know, we've reached out to everybody. And as I say, there's a handful of you guys have been willing to answer questions about it. Haven't heard back from a bunch. So
we got a lot of stiff arms from a lot of people.
Like to talk and answer questions. Those are my kind of guys and ladies. So thank you.
I appreciate it. Good to be with
really
you.
Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
There you go. So that is the latest on what's going on with the stadium. I want to get back into some of this and talk about this July 15 deadline. We could take the temperature on that as we continue on. Grant and Danny, at-large council member Robert White in studio with us. You're listening to The Fan.
I'm excited. My first reaction on the stadium was excitement. I, you know, it's the Washington Commanders. Would love for them to be back home in D.C., but I can't, as a council member, just be a fan. And so I had to dig into the deal. And unfortunately, right now, it's a bad deal for D.C. residents. We will lose a ton of money. But my goal is to improve it so that we can get this done. And I think it's doable. It's just going to take some work.
Big thanks to Robert White, who just joined us in studio, the at-large council member from the D.C. City Council. So we told you he's undecided, at least publicly. Nobody really knew which way he was leaning. So we were able to get him on the show. We were going to find out if he's a yes or a no on this stadium deal. It took a few seconds to find out he is a no on this current stadium deal. So I cannot add him to our count here. We are keeping a running tabulation. We have four yeses. We were looking for a fifth yes. This is not yes number five. This is a no. We're trying to get to seven yeses. Right now, it's a bad deal for the city. My job is to make it a good deal, and I'm excited we can do that. He's coming from the perspective of this is the start of a negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
The team and the mayor
this
made
is
this
what I don't know.
Announcement saying, here's your stadium deal. I think ultimately, it's going to be a take it or a leave it. He obviously says he's going to leave it. I think that's a mistake for Washington, D.C. We could disagree on that. I will say, and this sounds, you know, probably cheesy or whatever, I get sized when political people who are elected answer questions and do interviews.
Yep.
And he was one of, so far, I think, five people that has been willing to do that with us. And it's not like we're putting you on the hot seat or grilling you, but we'll ask some tough questions, whatever. But elected officials should do that. They should sit in that chair
Absolutely.
And answer those questions, and he did. And that, for that reason, he's my guy, even if I disagree with him.
I love what you said. Yeah, the thing that we don't know, because we're frankly not on the council, we're not like procedural experts for local council affairs or otherwise. We got into this talk about linebackers, but is how much wiggle room is there? Like when to me, when you hear the announcement that a deal has been struck and a court has been struck between a duly designated representative of the city, aka the mayor, and the football team, it's done, right? Nope. Then you hear all these procedural questions where it's part of the budget. What does that mean? You can, like, for example, just Councilmember White get to go, here's my red pen. I'm going to strike out that line and put in a different footnote, and then I'll send it back. And then is it a revision? Or is it, this is the budget, yes or no? Do you say yes or do you say no? Is there wiggle room within that? I have no idea. So in other words, his point, just given his views of it, are, hey, Washington, the city, should be paid back as quickly as the team. So in other words, some of the things that stand out to people that are no's on this, where the team's paying a dollar in rent for however many years, instead of the millions that it would be worth if you just leased it to a developer or somebody else. The team's getting this and that and this and that. What about some of that goes to the city so we can get paid back quickly too? If that happens, then it's done. If the team's going, no, we can't because we're putting up $2.7 billion and we got to make some of that back pretty quick, otherwise we'll be bankrupt, then that's a no. I just don't know what I don't know here. It's complicated.
he was also pretty adamant that he not only does he think it's a bad deal, but he said he has not heard from anyone who thinks it's a good deal. We've had some guests on. Maybe we could give him their information who think it's a pretty good deal for the city. But I wonder if anyone's going to fill up that inbox with, you know, the economist,
all the economists, right?
Take, I suppose. My frustration, and it came out, I'm sure, in the interview, I try not to give my opinion as much as ask questions, but I'm also trying to learn from his perspective. My frustration is with the notion that the deal isn't good enough, needs to be better, what have you, which is fine. No problem with that. But the idea of not ideal, like, perfection is the enemy in all of this, in that this is not a utopia. To me, I view it as stadium or what's your other thing that's going there. That should be the debate. Not stadium good or bad. Stadium or what are you putting there? No one has a plan. Nobody knows. They don't know what would end up there. And as he said, we've never been able to even consider that over decades. Until the team got you the land, by the way. That's why they have the land. Is because the team, via Hail Mary, got them the land. Now, that doesn't mean that you absolutely have to build the stadium, but they wouldn't have the land without the football team. Something that never, ever gets brought up in any of these conversations. But good, you have the land now. That's great. Let's do something good for the city. I promise you, I will change my mind when someone makes me, when someone gives me information that I'm wrong. But to this point, there's not a single idea I've heard of that generates more tax revenue, more growth, more jobs on that lot than this stadium and all the things that are going to be around it. The $89 million youth facility so the cheerleaders don't have to go to Northern Virginia and the kids that are training have to leave, you know, Ward 7. That's part of this. It's all part of this. And by the way, that's what D.C.'s paying for. I actually wish I would have brought that up because that keeps coming up is, and the mayor keeps saying it, the $1.1 billion is not building the stadium. It's building all the stuff for the use in D.C. from D.C. people, basically. That costs money. That $89 million facility that they're going to be building and all the other stuff around it. That's what the $1.1 billion is. It's like Maryland. They're saying here's $450 million for everything around the new stadium. They're investing in Maryland. They're not, the owners are building the stadium. Eric in Falls Church, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I love your guys' show.
Thank you, buddy.
So I respect the councilman. I've worked in public service most of my life. I would have two nits to pick. One is like the cost, the benefit it gives the city to have that stadium there benefits the people who live in the area. Buddy of mine lives on 18th and Constitution, and his home value is going to go up by $200K, and so is everyone around there. And then the second is, like, Grant, I couldn't have said it any better. Like, what else are you going to do with that area?
Just and give me the plan, man.
So his point.
Worf 2.0? By the way, I heard Chair of the Council, Mendelson. Say, I don't remember if it was us or with Sheehan or what interview it was, but he basically said there's a chance it could sit there vacant for years before they're able to actually do anything with it, if not this stadium deal. That should be unacceptable and the worst of all the options. You're going to be making a lot of money a lot faster with this stadium deal.
So the point that he made to counter that, I'm not saying I agree or not, just going through it, is they, A, just got the land. That was a crazy Hail Mary that happened in the middle of the night that nobody anticipated.
Because of the football team, they just got the land.
The football team had a lot to do with it, with the lobbying efforts, I would say. And that's a major thing. The criticism he had of then was to say, well, there aren't any other plans because nobody thought about them. That's a mistake. Just because nobody did their homework, did what they were supposed to do to have their ducks in a row for if and when we got control of the land, talking about D.C., doesn't mean we should just jump into a deal that isn't good for us. That was his point.
But they're going to spend over $1 billion on that site without an NFL stadium. His problem is the spending and getting the money back. You're going to spend that much money without a stadium to do whatever you'd be doing, to build Worf 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Without all the people coming from Virginia and Maryland to pay their tax dollars, without a Super Bowl, without a Final Four, without a Taylor Swift concert. Let's go to Scott in Silver Spring. What's up, Scott? How are you?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Good, buddy.
I just want to make a few points. So, first of all, you guys already touched on it. They wouldn't even have the land if it wasn't for Josh, Mitchell Rails, and the efforts of the team getting the land. Second of all, I mean, I understand he gets elected by keeping the constituents' best interests at heart and making decisions, but y'all asked him if all the people wanted it, a majority of the people, would he still vote against it? And he said, yeah, I kind of have a problem with that. However, again, he's supposed to be smarter than them when obviously he thinks he is and whatever. But one thing I want to ask is, have they considered, like, I get the gambling thing in D.C. I mean, there's sports betting now, but have they considered bidding out a portion of that land to, like, a resort casino? We see what MGM Grand does. We see all that brings to that section of PG County. Like, have they considered doing that with, like, the gate, whatever they have to do?
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
Appreciate you. Not that I know of. I don't know if that's part and parcel with what's going to happen with that land. I don't think so. I can't imagine, frankly, that local residents would want that. As part of it.
Would all the people that call up that are giddy about this in Ward 7 want that over the restaurants and the stores and the shopping and the retail and the $100 million facility for youth sports? I don't think they would rather a casino.
No, I don't think so.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I could be too, but I don't think that's part of it.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our double play is next. If you missed D.C. Council Member Robert White on the show earlier in the hour, you can podcast that when we're done at thefandc.com. You cannot add him to the list of council members who will be voting yes on this stadium deal as it's currently constructed. We've got four yeses, need seven. Did not add him to our growing tabulation today. He is a no as the deal is currently put together. We're going to go blitzing at 4 o'clock. That's when we're giving away those tickets to see The Offspring out of Jiffy Lube Live. That's a little over 10 minutes from right now, and then we've got a huge 5 o'clock hour coming up. Jordan Ta'amu, quarterback, D.C. Defenders, will be in studio with us an hour and 10 minutes from now, and Chris Patrick, the GM of the Capitals, calls in at 5:30 today, all coming up on The Fan. Let's get you a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Double play is driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
Just saw the news, GP. A little bit sad to pass on that George Wendt passed away. Best known as Norm Peterson from Cheers, an iconic role on one of the great shows of all time. Cheers was one of the perfect 80s comedies. Just a, you know, basically a single set all took place in and around the bar with the regulars. And of course, Norm was the regular at the regular everyday bar there in Boston. And sometimes they would go to different places and times and things. And it's not like that just had, you know, one set or whatever, but that was the spot for 90 some percent of the footage there, whether it was the back room with Sam's office or the dartboard or whatever, but out there, Norm sitting in his customary spot. So he passed away. What an unbelievable working actor career. So never did anything where he got anywhere near as well known as Norm Peterson, right? But a steady working actor basically for 40 years.
Super recognizable.
Yeah.
I would not have known his name. When you said George Wendt, I didn't know who that was. When I Googled him and looked up a picture of him, that's a guy that if he walked by me in the Springfield Mall, I would go
immediately.
Cheers.
Yep.
You know, I would look at him and I would go, oh, I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. That's a famous actor. Just wouldn't have known his name.
So funny. And of course, I had frequent guest roles on one of the heydays of SNL doing the Dob Bears sketch where he was Bab Swirsky super fans. He was perfect as that with the mustache and Ditka and having heart attacks. Ian Farley going back and forth with the physical comedy.
I got a Polish sausage lodged in this region here.
He was great in very supporting roles over the years. Was in Fletch and he played up actually a drug addict in Fletch that wasn't really the comic relief, was able to pull that off. A really, 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 really funny guy from Second City. Great career, man. Rest in peace.
Who is his nephew?
George Wendt's nephew?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Jason Sudeikis.
That's his nephew?
That is his nephew.
I didn't know that.
Uncle George.
How about that?
Let's go to Owen in Alexandria to hop in on our interview with Robert White. What's up, Owen? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Good, brother.
Very well, thanks.
I just wanted to say about the big events that Grant in particular, you've referenced a lot, Super Bowl, Final Four, et cetera. Most of that money is yo-yo money. It rolls in and rolls right back out again because a lot of that, the $1 billion in revenue that brings in or whatever actually goes to like the leagues or the NCAA's corporate partners. And you get ancillary money from, people spend money at restaurants or whatever, or they stay in hotels. Of course, a lot of those are big national chains. And so it's just kind of the tax money, but like the vast majority of that revenue would not really stay local. It would just go to the big national partners that the NFL and the NCAA have. So it looks like a big cool number that could bring the deficit back, but
so I'll take your word for it. I just know what the projections are for some of these things. Like Green Bay, Wisconsin just held the NFL draft. There were 250,000 people there. You think Green Bay benefited from it? You think Wisconsin did pretty well? I think having tentpole events like that is better than not.
It can be. But it's also, again, like that's just sort of ancillary money, and you gotta cut off like 80 to 90% of it that's not staying local to the city.
So I don't know if 80 to 90% is a real number. Again, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I would just have to look into that. I just know what I've been told from people that I've talked to about this, that if you have the caliber of events in the city that a stadium with a roof would allow you to, it would be a financial boon and a masterclass in business for the city to have those events that they cannot possibly have now. We just missed out on a World Cup game. That should not happen in Washington, D.C., because we don't have a stadium, the caliber of which to host that event, that shouldn't happen. So in Philadelphia, they're going to have the event. They can't come to D.C., where the biggest TV numbers for the World Cup are every single year, because Audi's not big enough, and we don't have a stadium where they feel good about putting 60 to 80,000 people, whatever the number would have been over in Landover. They looked at it, and they go, that's where you want to hold this thing? Uh-uh, not happening. Not good enough. It's Washington, D.C. You should be able to hold whatever event you want to, and right now you can't.
I think actually both of you are right. So the numbers that people love to quote about projections and this and that, that's in one column the revenue does come in, but does it stay? I think that's always inflated and always moved around. But here's where you're right, I think 100%, is of course it's better to have it than not. It is the Green Bay, Wisconsin just got the greatest showcase in the world. They had to tidy things up. They had to spend some money to fix the lawn and straighten the sign out a couple times. But people came to the city. The city looked great. That is the win, right? So you'll make a little bit of money. How much I think is always exaggerated, but that's not the point. The point is, what better showcase for you, for the world, for the city, for everything else in between, then to be able to have those kinds of major events, which then draws the future tourism, which then draws the people coming to town. People coming to your town is what you want.
And they're not coming to your town for the other things you're building there, period. It's not happening. New Orleans saw a substantial economic boost of at least $500 million from Super Bowl, this past Super Bowl. According to initial estimates, some sources suggest it could be upwards of $600 million. Now, I'll take his word for it, that's funny math and it's not the case, but I guarantee it's a couple hundred million bucks. Even if you want to tell me that number's way inflated, it's a hell of a lot better than had they not have had the Super Bowl for New Orleans. It's a lot better. I can promise you that. But appreciate the call, and it's good information. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's go blitzing next. Let's give away those tickets to Offspring as well.